Hello and greetings, and thank you for joining me for another episode of In Right Standing, a podcast for the unique, peculiar, and chosen who want to live right and at the end of the day be in right standing with themselves and others. I'm your host, Jada Cofield, and on today's episode, I want to continue our conversation about the types of women by focusing on the businesswoman. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. And the way you make others feel is your trademark. Author unknown. I want to share with you through my experience from dealing with millionaires to small business owners, 20 characteristics and let's say revelations that you should be implementing as a businesswoman, particularly in the areas of entrepreneurship. I want to start off with going back to my first memory of a professional businesswoman, and that is my mother. My mother had an incredibly good professional job, which I saw her transition throughout. On top of her career, she was also a licensed cosmetologist and nail technician and set up a shop in our home. People from all over the city came, and she had some very influential women whose nails she kept manicured. She also is a published author and an inventor. My mother took me to work with her several times, and I went to most of her meetings, banquets, and luncheons and sat amongst CEOs. One of the biggest lessons I learned from her and my first revelation number one, treat people right. Treating people right will never go out of business. I watched how people did favors or opened doors for my mother simply based on how she treated them and made them feel. No matter what, she treated people right. I watched her for years pursue several other ventures and her tenacity to work well. Revelation number two, you learned from someone. Yes, you learned how to either do business or be a hustler from someone. Check your history. How you do business and treat people now is based on what you learned early on in life. Revelation number three, take risk. We as women like safety and security. Therefore, taking a risk in business or career is usually a scary thought. When I moved to London and then Africa, that took a risk. A risk means it may work and it may not. Risks are our biggest teaching tools that usually accelerate our knowledge, wisdom, and success. Thinking outside of the box is one thing, but you need to think outside of the box. And as one commentator quoted, and then turn around and burn the box down. Risk taking is more than just thinking big, because our big is but small compared to God. One can think big all day long. I can think big about anything. But if I don't tap into the place of mind transformation to receive instructions on how to walk out the big, obtain the big, reverse engineer the big, I will just be a big thinker and talker. Leave the thinking big for motivational speaking. Thinking big is not risky, but executing the big thoughts is. Revelation number four, why did you start your business? Be honest. Are you paying off a debt? Is it to have a little extra money for yourself? Are you struggling and need to make ends meet? Is this your sole income? All of those reasons are valid and need to be made clear. Clarity brings direction and understanding. A side gig is not the same as a sustainable and scalable business. Nothing is wrong with either one, but make it clear. Is it a passion, profit, or purpose, or all? Passion can lose its fire, a profit can lose a dollar, and a purpose can be unfulfilled. A business usually takes 3 years to experience real ROI. Do you have patience? Will your company be green, eco-friendly, build a community, solve problems, and help others build wealth? Is this about relationship or revenue for you? What is your why? Revelation number 5, using deception as a sales point. One of my first jobs was at 13, and I worked for a family friend selling costume jewelry. The only problem, they used us as children to lure people in because they knew people would not say no to us. I quit. I recently experienced deception with a company that I had been looking at for some time and wanted to support. I purchased the blouse because I liked the accessory that was attached to it. And once it arrived, it was a totally different accessory than pictured. I called the company and was told they no longer had or could not find the accessory, and they gave me a refund store credit. I was okay. I felt they handled it well, and I gave them the benefit of the doubt. 75% of customers said they would return if a matter is handled in a timely manner, even if it's not the result they were expecting. So, on another occasion, I used the refund credit to make another purchase of a 3-piece suit. I received 2 pieces and a belt, and the belt was not advertised. I called customer service again and was told this time that because I purchased the suit on sale, the top was not included, even though what was listed said top, jacket, and pants, no belt. My receipt said the same too. Then I knew what I felt all along in the beginning. They knew what they were doing. And this woman-owned business has been doing this for a while. Her pictures are nice and pretty, but what is advertised is not what you received. An unjust weight is an abomination to the Lord. It's a shameful deception. I've also encountered merchandise women put their touch on, which is considered customized or personalized, not handcrafted. Nothing is wrong with that. Just tell the truth, ladies. It matters down the line. Be clear about yourself and what you have to offer. According to the Jewish rabbi Daniel Lapin, an author of Business Secrets from the Bible, Secret 11 states, success is achieved by building up our self-discipline, integrity, and character strength. Revelation number 6, is your business a solo act? Do you know how to network? I hear people say they are entrepreneurs, but I don't see them in the circle with other entrepreneurs, and other entrepreneurs have never heard of you. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Are you sharing your resources, relationships, and revelations? My business is not just about me and for me. The first thing Christ did before his launch was to establish his team. It can just start out being you and one other, but that's fine. Two can always be better than one. They can also see better than one. Negotiate and barter. Everything is not about money in business. Many deals, I don't want money. I want your connections, an introduction, or a seat at the table. I can make money anytime. Revelation number 7. Are you willing to learn? I am constantly learning from my mistakes, and I have people who question my motives, my message, and my ministry. I'm not exempt from learning or correction. Revelation number 8. What problem does your business solve? Spanx was created because Sarah Bleakley was getting ready for a party when she realized she didn't have the right undergarment to provide a smooth look under white pants. She cut the feet off her control top pantyhose and Spanx was birthed. She solved a problem most women were having, not being able to find flexible, comfortable, and reasonable shapewear. Thank you, Sarah. She herself is now a billionaire. Her thought was, if I'm having this problem, surely other women are too. Miriam E. Benjamin was a school teacher living in Washington, D.C. in 1888, and Miss Benjamin received a patent for an invention she called a gong and signal chair for hotels. Her chair, as she stated in her patent application, would reduce the expenses of hotels by decreasing the number of waiters in attendance to add to the convenience and comfort of guests and to alleviate the necessity of hand clapping or calling aloud to attain the services of pages. The system worked by pressing a small button on the back of a chair, which could relay a signal to a waiting attendant. At the same time, a light would illuminate on the chair, allowing the attendant to see which guest was in need of assistance. The system was adopted and installed within the United States House of Representatives to summon pages and was the predecessor of the methods used today on airplanes to signal the flight attendants. Miss Benjamin was the second Black woman to receive a patent, solving a problem. Revelation number 9, jumping on the hype. Jumping on an opportunity that looks big and has names attached and completely ignoring the important relationships, people that helped you get there. Also, missing the fine print of what the hype may cost you down the line. Revelation number 10, building your business by tearing down another. You will never be well within or without. Revelation number 11, selling by using hype, manipulation of emotions, or using impressive tactics with clothing and buildings and cars and numbers and money. You know people are hungry for money and wealth and looking accomplished, and you use that to get them to buy. I see a lot of flyers and events of boss ladies and the millionaire lady. My mentor, who himself is a millionaire, said this to me and my team. There is a difference between a million in debt, a million in sales, and having a million in assets or in the bank. Which one do you want? I see people promoting their numbers and not the reality, nor teaching how to build a real community to generate wealth. Adam Gupnik says, a guru gives us himself and then his system, but a teacher gives us his subject, then ourselves. If there was a system to sell on how to become a millionaire, then we would all be millionaires. Selling how you made 6 and 7 figures is deceptive most of the time because you made those numbers by selling the program and not because you have a million in the bank or have actually made that in your business. Again, making and having millions are two different things. Revelation number 12, just because it is a gift or talent does not mean it's a business or you're supposed to make money off of it. Revelation number 13, the value of your product is not comparable to what you are providing. The cheapest of everything is on the table or the product. Revelation number 14, as Joshua Selman so eloquently says, your business needs to be valuable, useful, and needed. An item or service can be valuable, but that does not mean it is useful or needed. Your business will suffer or struggle if it's not all three at some point. Let's say I create custom designed socks in this era we are currently in. Yes, socks are useful, but they wouldn't necessarily be valuable or needed. But what if the socks can take your temperature, detect fever by warning you when your immune system is low or at risk for contracting a virus? That's a winner in this climate. It's valuable, useful, and needed. My product will then meet all social, mental, and economical levels. Everyone and anyone can use or purchase my product. The rich and the poor want it. Everyone wants a smartphone. The problem you solve with your business and value you add to society should transcend cultures, climates, and customs. Revelation number 15. Using money inappropriately, misuse of funds, not reporting taxes correctly on your business. If you don't acknowledge your business to Caesar or the IRS, what makes you think God should bless something that you say doesn't exist? Okay, Ananias and Sapphira. Revelation 16, selling yourself too short and not asking for what you're worth. Women, we are particularly good at this in business. my mentor told, well, good in not doing it. And my mentor told me, if people don't respect you as a woman, if they don't respect you as what you have to say as a woman, and if they don't respect you as a Black woman, then you walk. No hard feelings. Revelation 17. Do you know how to pivot? Pivoting is the ability to go in a completely different direction quickly. Revelation number 18. Are you healthy enough to run a business? One of the main things an investor looks at is you. Will you be here a year from now if I give you $6 million? Revelation 19. You share too much. According to the Jewish rabbi, Daniel Lapin, again, he says, a vision is necessary. Sharing that vision is not always necessary. Revelation 20, doing business within the church. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. The outer circle was a popular place for gatherings, much like our churches today, and it was a part of the temple. Jesus' issue was that there was selling and buying while he was teaching, where he was teaching, and it kept all the people from getting to him, hearing him, and seeing him. We know this because immediately after he turned the tables over, it says, then the blind, the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. The selling and buying was a distraction from Christ. It was about business, not blessings. The church he was in had been doing this for a long time. And when Jesus turned the tables back then, he said, this is wrong. And Jesus said, you're turning what should be a house of prayer into a den of thieves. The money changers and sacrifice sellers were priests and spiritual leaders who were already making money from temple taxes, tithe, and offerings. Now, if I, Jada, appear to this scripture as a minister, a leader, or one responsible for your soul, even as a pastor's wife, I should not obligate my followers or congregation to purchase my products or services. According to the scripture, I should not be selling and you should not be buying from me. I am your leader and guide. It would be a distraction. I'm now using Christians as customers. Secondly, it promotes hypocrisy. I'm teaching you to lie and buy and buy into me and from me as your leader, because if you don't, it means you don't support me or the ministry, even if you don't want to. Your focus is now turned to loyalty to me and not to the deity. I, Jada Cofield, do have a business, and I have established my business just like everyone else in the world by building relationships outside of my courts. The Proverbs 31 woman is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. The Hebrew word merchant is from a root word meaning to travel about, to migrate, and hence a traveler. It means a company or person involved in wholesale trade, especially one dealing with foreign countries or supplying merchandise to a particular trade. This means building beyond my walls as a merchant. I should do business in the marketplace and not the church. Establishing customers outside your borders and building a reputation is noble and respectable. I know the statistics about how long a dollar stays in certain communities, but consider this. What we fail to realize, those whose dollars are lasting longer in their circles are getting the dollar outside of their walls. It is called currency. It's flowing. While the dollar inside our walls cannot circulate because it's not bringing any in, it's just taking from itself, therefore causing that dollar to remain stagnant. So unfortunately, that system is not the Garden of Eden with multiple streams. Think about it. Part of the fall in the garden was when Eve ate of her own garden and then turned around and offered to her own husband. Here is the trouble we run into when we take from our own. Once you taste of the delicious delicacy of deception, it's hard to go back to what is right. The convenience of making money off of church people becomes hard to stop doing. Jesus told the money changers, keep it up and the temple will fall. Finances and wealth is a reward you experience by building a community of relationships. Therefore, the money I make outside the gates should then go back into my community by helping others. Let's say, like this podcast, by providing you with the resources, relationships, and revelations to help you establish your business. What we must keep in mind, there was never a need for rain in the Garden of Eden. A mist actually came up from the earth. When you're in right standing as a businesswoman, provisions are provided. When you solve a problem, money will find you. One of my mentors said Adam did not eat of the fruit because sin. He took of the fruit from Eve because of love. Listen to what I'm going to say, businesswoman. When it comes to obeying God, it's easier for people to obey you because they see you, they know you, and out of loyalty want to do what seems to be right to you. But then God is nowhere to be found. Selling to your own is support, but selling to others is sustainability. Wealthy people have figured this out. Sometimes when you make the decision to sell to your own, you have already put a limit on how far your service or product can and will go. In Isaiah, the merchants were considered princes and traffickers as honorable people of the earth. If I use the church members as my source of supply because I don't have to go far, do any work, and they are just there for me to use, is not honorable. Remember, a merchant is one who travels and doesn't settle for convenience. Lastly, when it comes to ministry, I was taught you do not do ministry to make money, and your purse should be in order before you go out. What if Jesus, before and after a message, sold anointing oil and prayer cloths and custom leather sandals, or had his men have a table selling a scroll of Beatitudes? What would you honestly think? Jesus and the disciples had a purse before they started out. He was sponsored. That's why he chose the disciples he did who had money, and so did Jesus. I'm sure he was saving from all the carpentry and stonemasonry work he did. I have a separate legitimate business. I build and I am building outside my Jerusalem tabernacle by establishing relationships with buyers other than the people I lead. And I want to encourage you to do the same. This is how it's supposed to be done. If not, I am a thief robbing God and my own kind. I don't use my title or position as the church's financial obligation. Revelation bonus 21, consistency in your presentation. Women are 95% more times judged by their appearance in business than men. Several influential men have told me they can tell how a woman is going to handle their business or do business by how she is dressed. For 8 years, the former Secretary of State and former most powerful woman in the world, Condoleezza Rice, was noted in several memoirs and articles written about her, how impeccably she was dressed. These comments were made by some of the most powerful men in the world. It was not a vain or feminist statement. They said her presentation spoke volumes and matched everything she did. It was her signature or her brand, if you would. My former CEO often spoke about me becoming the VP, then president of the company. He said, I would do well, and I already looked the part. I later became the face of the company and number two. If your business is khakis and a polo shirt, great, but invest in a good quality polo and khakis. Presentation is everything. Studies have shown a person's good grooming, appearance, and presentation makes them more trustworthy. According to one of the top online etiquette experts, she says, clothing helps you communicate what you want to communicate. who you are, what you do, and what you don't stand for. You're telling a story about yourself. I was attending a conference in another country, and the women on the first day just looked exhausted and not as professional. I came as if I owned the company and was representing the company. The next day, every lady had a different appearance, and some even went and purchased lipstick that evening. I know, they told me. While I was having my tea before the meeting at this conference, the regional vice president of Boeing said to me, "Jada, you did this." A true professional woman will always inspire, evoke change, and cause others to see themselves becoming better. An associate of mine years ago had acquired a $1 million deal, and she told us every time she had a meeting, she wore the same $800 suit. She invested in herself with the one suit. She said she could not expect to get millions, and she looked like a dollar. If you're online, which most of us are, have a decent backdrop, a nice top, and look presentable. I understand that you're at home, but I'm not at home with you. You only actually have 10 seconds to define your service. In those 10 seconds, most people have already made the decision of whether or not they're going to work with you again. Some of you could benefit from professional help in this area, stylist or etiquette training. I had and have people who help me, and I've trained and still train for where I am, but also where I want to go. I ask for help. This podcast actually was started because I met the producers of the podcast partner in an elevator, and he was complimenting me on the custom-made coat I was wearing. And it started a dialogue between us, and he shared he was teaching a class that day on podcasting. And the rest is history. Your look matters. Revelation bonus number 22 and my last revelation. You are representing all women in business. What you do in business as a woman is the category that others will put all women in. Business is not just about you. You are representing women in business everywhere. I was in a conference in Johannesburg, South Africa, and I was one of 13 women in a room of 200 or so men. The woman who took to the stage was from another country and began to share the wisdom her mentor gave her entitled The Three C's. He told her when dealing with a client, you first communicate. And if what you communicate doesn't get through to them, then you confuse them. And if confusing them does not work, then you corrupt them. People laughed, but I did not. I gave her a very stern look of disapproval. She knew what my look meant, and she then said, "Oh, I'm just joking." But it was too late, and the audience was still laughing and didn't hear her apology. What she didn't know is two of the most influential men in that industry and in the world asked me during the break, "I hope you're not like that." She was scary. I end the businesswoman with this. Don't carry around with you two weights, one heavy and the other light. And don't keep two measures at hand, one large and the other small. Use only one weight, a true and honest weight, and one measure, a true and honest measure, so that you will live a long time on the land that God, your God, is giving you. Dishonest weights and measures are an abomination to God, your God. All this corruption in business deals? Thank you again for listening and tuning in. And be sure to leave in the comments one of your revelations about being a businesswoman or questions. And remember, at the end of the day, I want you to be in right standing with yourself, with others, and most importantly, with Christ. Until next time, the Lord be with you. Okay.